Pray, okay, here we go. Thanks God for a beautiful day and for this opportunity to meet together as a church. We're going to be thinking about sport, which is going to be interesting. So please, Holy Spirit, open our hearts and minds to the Word of God and let us be open-minded to what you have to say to us from it. We pray this in your good name, Jesus. Amen. All right, so we're going to be looking at, and I'm going to read from John chapter 2 now. It's a very famous passage of the water being turned into wine. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with it. In fact, some of you might be able to say it off by heart, but I won't get the show-offs up the front to do that, so we'll just have a go reading it out. If you need a Bible, there are some up the back, or else if you've got a phone or your own Bible, you can read from that. I'm reading from the ESV, so sorry if that's trouble for anyone, but so many versions, you can never win, so we'll just go with the ESV. Here we go. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them up, to the brim. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This is the first of his signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed him. All right, so keep that handy because we're going to go back and forward from that passage. I want to tell you right that this is all my dreams come true, to give a speech at church about Jesus and sport, right? All my dreams come true. Let me tell you about my favourite sporting moment. It was probably back in 2003, so we're going back. And strangely, it happened while I was in my old beat-up VK Holden Commodore, right? A classic car, right? Tom knows. I can't remember actually where I was going specifically, but I was heading somewhere into the city of Sydney. It was late in the afternoon and the traffic really stank. I can remember crawling down Parramatta Road from one red light to another red light to another. I had my window down because it was boiling hot and I didn't have any AC back then. You know, cars were the old cars. I was listening to the radio and to the ABC's grandstand cricket coverage of the Ashes, right? And way back then, the Aussies, we used to smash the Poms all the time, right? Back then, it was just a great time to be alive, right? It was seriously a great time to be alive. I was listening intently because Steve Waugh was batting, and he's pretty much one of my favourite sports persons. He's probably my favourite cricketer. What a man. Seriously, he's a legend, right? This guy is a great captain, an innovator, a steely, fiercely determined batsman. This guy is a legend, right? Anyway, I suppose he was coming to what the selectors at the time thought was the end of his career. He was sort of struggling for some form, I suppose. He was looking down the barrel of going into retirement, so he needed some runs to stave off that coming on. Anyway, he came in, and on this day, the runs just kept coming. He raced through in one session to into the 90s, and like a fairy tale finish was coming, right? He needed 4 runs off the last ball of the day to hit probably a career-saving, if not career-defining century, right? Now, I remember when I was writing this down a few weeks ago, preparing, I was getting tingles just thinking about it, and even now I'm getting goosebumps, right? This is reminiscing, right? It's special. In comes the spin bowler. He bowls a little bit short. Steve Waugh rocks back and he just crunches it, right? He crushed that ball and it went sailing to the boundary for a 4 and the crowd just erupted. You could hear it on the radio. They erupted. They went bonkers. They went nuts. Even at the intersection where I was sitting, right? It was a red light. I was waiting, one of many red lights. There was cheering. I was cheering. I could hear people in other cars cheering, mostly males, but probably some females. I could have been excited males. You know how some blokes with the high-pitched voices, but what a moment, right? What a moment, a special moment. It happened in my old beat-up VK Holden Commodore, but I tell you what, I treasure that moment, right? I treasure it. Now, I could go on if you want. on and on and on about my favourite sporting moments. Yeah, Tom, afterwards, mate. It's all, it's you and me, right? Straight at the back, get a coffee. But being asked to speak about Jesus and sport and stuff like that, it's made me think about what it is about sport that I just really like, right? And for a little while, I have to tell you, I started to get a little bit wound up because I couldn't put my finger on it. Was there some deep thing, right? Some deep reason, some deep down explanation for why sport and I just really click, you know, go together. Like, what was it, right? And I couldn't put my finger on it. So I went to the source of wisdom, right? I went to my eldest daughter, Lily. And I said to her, Lily, can you tell me, what's your favourite sport? And Lily said to me, oh, swimming, Dad. And I said, well, why is it that you like swimming? And she looked at me like I was asking her a pretty silly question. And she said, I like swimming, Daddy, because it's fun. And there you have it, right? Fun. Sport's fun, isn't it? It's fun to play sport. It's fun to watch sport. It's fun to talk about sport. It's fun to think about sport, dream about sport, practice sport, play sport. You name it, sport, it's just fun. And then that brings us to Jesus. Because even though the Bible isn't just filled with passages about Jesus having fun, there are some landmark moments in the Bible, like John chapter 1, Jesus' first sign in the Gospel of John, right? Landmark moments which show that Jesus was pretty into fun too. Now, we just read John chapter 2, and I'm not going to canvas it all today. I'm just going to pull out three things that I want us to think about. Firstly, we're going to talk about is how Jesus was happy to have fun at this wedding, right? The second thing we'll look at is how Jesus, he made the fun keep going at this wedding when some trouble came along. And then thirdly, we'll have a think about Jesus' influence on the fun that Christians have today, right? So three things. Jesus had fun, Jesus kept the fun going, and Jesus' influence on our fun today, right? You with me? Make sense? All right. So firstly, Jesus had fun. So John chapter 2 is about some events that happened at a wedding. Now then and now, you get invited to a wedding if the people getting married like you, right? That's just how it works. Whenever we do family devotionals at home and I go over this passage with my girls, I always point that out to them, right? That in Newcastle on any